जय राधमा
The following is a class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text Number 17, given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded on 26th March of 1996 in Nairobi, Kenya.
Gopi jana bala bhava swara dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Goswami said, the great sage Maitreya Muni, responding to Vidura very greatly, began to speak at Vidura's request for the greatest welfare of all people. So we have seen in this chapter that Vidura had been inquiring from Maitreya. He was inquiring about the transcendental topics related to the Supreme Law, and Vidura had requested Maitreya to please describe the various transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And earlier in this chapter, we've also seen how Vidura has condemned fruitive activities to be undesirable. So, in the purport, Prabhupada is making the point that the great sage Maitreya is described here in Bhagavan. So Maitreya had the great fortune of having received spiritual knowledge, even from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Maitreya was a disciple of Parsha Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. He was his disciple. And actually, he was a lot older than Vidura in age. Earlier, we see that when Vidura had approached Uddhava for spiritual guidance, even though Uddhava and Maitreya had both received instructions directly from the Supreme Lord, Uddhava thought that Vidura is my age. No, Vidura is a lot older than me. I can't give him instructions. And then Uddhava guided him to take instructions from Maitreya. And Maitreya was a disciple of Parsha Muni, and he had the great fortune of receiving transcendental knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. So Vidura, on Uddhava's suggestion, approached Maitreya for spiritual guidance, and we see that from here onwards now, Maitreya is going to respond to the various questions that were presented by Vidura. So we see in the Bhagavatam that even Narada Muni sometimes is addressed as Bhagavan. So Prabhupada explained this point by saying that the devotee sometimes is given this respect because he's fully convinced about the transcendental position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the purport, Prabhupada points out the all-inclusive welfare service for the entire human society is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as the verse also explains, this is actually the greatest welfare for the entire human society. So from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the highest welfare activity for human society is to come to the platform of devotional service. Very often people tell us, why are you spending so much money in building all these big, big temples? Especially when they see these big temples, they say that, why is so much money being spent? There's so much poverty. Why aren't we spending money on removing the poverty and so on? So the answer is that pure devotional service is the highest welfare activity, because through this medium we learn to establish our relationship with the Lord and thus become permanently free from the samsara of birth and death. So just giving somebody some philanthropic help or some material help is not the real solution. It may give some temporary benefits, but unless we learn the importance of coming to the platform of pure devotional service, everything simply a waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevala. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam very strongly emphasizes the importance of pure devotional service. And that is why the Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. Why is it accepted as the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge? Because it focuses on these process of pure devotional service. Sarve punsam paro dharma yato bhakti adhokshade haitu ke pratiyata yayata supersedati. Very clearly the Bhagavatam says that the self can only be satisfied if you take to the process of pure devotional service. Otherwise, the self cannot be satisfied. The same point is also illustrated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is said, Krishna bhakta niskama ataeva shanta, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. It says that the devotees of the Lord are niskama. They are not engaging in this endeavor with motives. Hence they are peaceful. Whereas the others, the bhuktis, the muktis, siddhis, those who want to engage in fruitive work, those who want liberation, those who want to achieve the mystic perfections, they're all lusty. They're all motivated. And hence they are not sakali ashanta, they are not peaceful. So if we take to the process of pure devotional service, this is the highest welfare activity that one can engage in. So the next question is, how do you take to the process of devotional service? Again and again we hear about the importance of devotional service, but the question is, how do you get to the point where you understand that devotional service is the ultimate activity that one should engage in? So this is also explained. The wonderful thing about the scriptures is that everything is explained in great detail. We do not have to speculate. We do not have to interpret. We just have to accept the process with faith. I remember once I was talking to Prabhupada and I said that we should set up a research institute, because in India there's a certain law which states that if you set up a research institute, then donations to that trust entitle you to a high exemption. So, you know, this was one way of setting a lot of funds. So Prabhupada did not like the use of the word research in our name. He said, there's nothing, no need for us to do any research. All the research is already done by Vyasadeva. All we have to do is just accept it. There's no need for any research. So similarly, we don't have to research how to execute pure devotional service. We don't have to research into the process, how to get to the stage of where we have developed love of God. It's all clearly explained in the Shastras and by the great sages. So it explained how in the initial stages they must be desire, shraddha. They must be this desire. They must be desire that there is something beyond material life. There must be some God. There is something beyond this life of sense gratification. So you must have that desire. Once that desire is there, then the Supreme Lord, who resides in everyone's heart as the Paramatma, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hirdaye Shirajana Krishna, the Supreme Lord as the Paramatma, is the witness to all our desires. He is a seer in the ultimate sanctioning authority. Nothing can happen unless the ultimate sanctioning authority approves of it. You may desire to take over the whole world or buy a Mercedes car, but unless it is approved by the ultimate authority, you're not going to realize that. So when the Supreme Lord sees that here is candidate who desires to understand Him, then the Supreme Lord creates a situation by which you come in contact with sadhu. This is known as sadhu sangha. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, sarvasya chaham hirdi sannivishto mataha smritir jnanam apahanam cha. I'm the cause of smriti and I'm the cause of apahana. I'm the cause of forgetfulness and I'm the cause of remembrance. So all that is realized with the ultimate sanctioning realized from Krishna. So when the desire is there, when we manifest the desire to engage in service to the Lord, and when the desire is genuine, then Krishna brings you in touch with spiritual people, brings you in touch with a pure devotee, brings you in touch with a representative of a pure devotee, brings you in touch with somebody who will just transmit to you the message of the pure devotee. Just like our devotees go and distribute books all over the world. Prabhupada emphasized this activity of book distribution as one of the most important activities. So these books are distributed not necessarily by the most advanced devotees or those who have achieved the stage of Krishna prema. It may be distributed even by a new bhakta who is not even fully convinced about the value of devotional service, but who has faith that I'm being told to go and distribute books. So this is an auspicious activity. But when he distributes these books, the person getting these books reads the message of the pure devotee. So sadhu sangha takes in various forms. You may meet a pure devotee, you may read his instructions, or you may just meet a neophyte, but he just verbally presenting to you the essence of what he has heard from the disciplic succession. So when you come in contact with spiritual association, then what do you get to understand? You get to understand how devotional service can be executed. You're explained the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You're explained the importance of giving up sinful activities, etc. And then by maintaining our spiritual association, by keeping to associate with devotees, we must continue to associate. Our faith in the process keeps getting reinforced and we begin to execute the process of devotional service. We begin to chant with one round, gradually we build up to 16 rounds, you start following one regulative principle, gradually you get more and more strength to follow all the principles and so on. And then you get to the stage of you begin the process of bhajana kriya. You begin to execute the process of devotional service. And then if you're sincere and very fortunate, you get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and you keep endeavoring on this spiritual path. And as we endeavor, the anarthas come, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsarya, the enemies of spiritual life that are primarily responsible for keeping us away from the process of devotional service, they begin to get liquidated. They begin to melt. And as we keep executing the anartha nivritti, the anarthas begin to get destroyed. And then, slowly, slowly, we develop nishtha. Our faith in the process becomes stronger. Initially, our faith is very, very weak. We haven't reached the stage of nishtha. That's why we see people, they come, they join the movement, they even get initiated. But because they're not executing the process with form, they're not executing the process very thoroughly, they haven't reached the stage of nishtha and take to the process and they even give up the process. So, but if you keep executing the process, then you come to the stage of nishtha, you make further progress, you get taste, ruchi, you get taste, and then you get more deeply attached till eventually you get to the stage where you develop love of God, of Krishna prema. So this process we've just described in brief has been explained, and if we follow this process, then we will be able to stay on this process of devotional service, and we will also be able to inspire others to take to the process of devotional service. Now in the fourth canto, there's a nice verse which explains that sometimes we prematurely stop to take the medicine, just like sometimes you're recovering from a disease and you falsely think that you've recovered. You prematurely stop to take the medicine, and then what happens? You get a relapse. So similarly, we come on the spiritual path, we begin to follow the process, but then we think, now I've achieved this Krishna prema, I've understood everything, we begin to take shortcuts, we begin to become weak in the execution of bhajana kriya, in the execution of sadhana, bhakti, etc. And then what happens? We get a relapse. And the relapse is, we go back into mutual activities. We gradually, devotional service gradually gets weakened. So, we should not take any shortcuts on this spiritual path. And if we sincerely keep executing the process, then we will succeed on this devotional path. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was explaining the process, Sanatana Goswami explained how this bhakti lata bij has to be watered. How we have to regularly water this bhakti lata bij. And if we regularly water this bhakti lata bij attentively, when we talk about the process of bhajana kriya, we're talking about the process and the process of sharanam kirtanam, we're talking about the various rules and regulations, we're talking about the process of sadhana bhakti. And if we take advantage of all this great knowledge that has been left behind by the great sages and the Supreme Lord, then the process is guaranteed to work. There should be no doubt that the process will work, but we have to take to this process with full faith. And if we take to this process with full faith, then we will be able to advance on this path of devotional service. Now, Prabhupada used to often quote Bhaktisiddhanta Ji's statement that in this world, if there is a shortage of something, there is a shortage of only one commodity. And what's that commodity? Love of God. So there is this shortage of this process of love of God all over the world. All over the world people are not taking to this process so easily. You know, people want to try and be happy independent of God. We have such a nice process that has been given to us, but the unfortunate people don't want to take to it. So as devotees, Prahlad Maharaj explains the nature of a devotee, paradukha-dukhi. Paradukha-dukhi means that when he sees somebody else in distress, then he also becomes distressed. And That is the true nature of a Vaishnava. The true nature of a Vaishnava is that he's very anxious to make everyone fortunate. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Rishabhdev gives a nice example. He says that just like a gentleman, when he sees a blind man walking on the wrong path, does he keep quiet? No. He goes, holds his hand, and diverts him to the right path, isn't it? So similarly, one who is spiritually educated, he knows that everyone's walking on the wrong path. He knows that everyone is actually spiritually blind. So what does he do? He puts them on the right path. In other words, devotees, their principal goal is to become Krishna conscious and to make others Krishna conscious. Because this verse is clearly establishing that this is the greatest welfare activity for everyone. And in the purport, Prabhupada is also emphasizing that this is the highest welfare activity for everyone. So devotees have to be fully convinced about what is the highest welfare activity. Sometimes when somebody is coming to Krishna consciousness, you know, sometimes people are hesitant and, you know, whether they should come to Krishna. Actually, coming to Krishna consciousness is the highest welfare activity. Because when you come to Krishna consciousness, when you take to this process of Krishna consciousness, you're really working for the benefit of the entire society. Krishna consciousness goes beyond the concept of identifying with the body. There is limited sense gratification and extended sense gratification. First you worry about your own body and what your body and senses need. Then you worry about your family. Then you worry about your village or community. Then you worry about your community. Then you worry about your nation. But Krishna consciousness is beyond all that. We go beyond all these designations. We come to the single point, and that is Ekala Ishwar Krishna Asabhitara. That there is only one real master, and everyone else, Bhitara, that means servant, everyone else is actually his servant. So this understanding has to be taken to every corner of the planet. We should not forget Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction. What was his prediction? As many towns and villages of the world there are, my holy name will be spread. As many towns and villages. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this holy name should be spread to as many towns and villages that they are. Prithivite Achyutata, as many they are on this planet. So that is actually the duty of everyone of this Krishna conscious movement, to help realize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction, to help realize Prabhupada's great desire, that this Krishna consciousness, which is the highest welfare activity, and it is very interesting, it is being confirmed in the verse that we are discussing today. This is, which is the highest welfare activity, should be taken to every nook and corner of the world. But this will only happen if the devotees endeavor to make this happen. Somebody may say that if it is the Lord's desire, then it will happen. What's the need for us to make the effort? The Lord is dependent on his devotees. If the devotees endeavor, just like they say in English, God helps those who help themselves. So we endeavor to help realize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire and Prabhupada's desire, then certainly Krishna will help make it happen. So this is the highest welfare activity, but this has to be brought to everyone. So people have to be convinced about it. And how are we going to convince others? You can convince others, we are convinced about ourselves. So we've explained briefly how we can be convinced ourselves about the process of devotional service by strictly following this process. But then we have to take this process to the others. So one medium is we go on and do book distribution. Prabhupada emphasized book distribution as the highest welfare activity. Prabhupada said, your love for me will be... Prabhupada said, if you love me, then go and distribute my books. As we understand from the Shastras, the Vaishnava, the Charya, he is present in the Vapu and the Vani form. And Prabhupada said, as long as book distribution goes on, I will live forever. We do not say to the Akshaya that a true spiritual teacher goes away. He lives forever by his teachings. So when we distribute these books, we give the conditioned souls an opportunity to associate with Prabhupada, to associate with the great Acharyas, and to be reminded about what is the real mission of human life. So it's very nice that our devotees here now are regularly going out and doing book distribution. But we should not get discouraged. Sometimes when we go out on book distribution and we don't realize quick results, you know, there's a tendency on the part of devotees to get discouraged. But they shouldn't be discouraged. We should keep endeavoring. And Krishna, when he sees that here is someone making a sincere, honest attempt, Krishna is in your heart, and Krishna is in the heart of the individual that you're trying to convince. So when Krishna sees that here is somebody, here is my devotee who's trying to make an effort to convince, then Krishna reciprocates and inspires the other person to also reciprocate and take the book or show interest in it. So one medium that Prabhupada gave us for making people aware is this process of book distribution. That Prabhupada gave us many cultural weapons through which Krishna consciousness can be spread. Another weapon that he gave us is this process of prasad distribution that we call as Food for Life. The Food for Life program in almost every corner of the world has been the strongest weapon for getting public support and appreciation of what this Krishna conscious movement stands for. Unfortunately, today people are so degraded. When you tell them about our God-conscious activities, they say, oh, what is that going to do for us? Am I right, Ranj? What is that going to do for us? So they don't attach great importance to just God-consciousness. Just like in India, for example, the taxation law is such that if you donate to a society that is strictly religious, you don't get any benefit. If you donate to a religious society, so Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga you went people through the belly. And especially in this part of the world, the scope for prasad distribution is unlimited. We have a full big program today, isn't it? 1 o'clock. So we've started this prasad for life or Food for Life program. But this is a program that can be expanded to unlimited degrees. You know, right now we're distributing milk bags every day, but we can expand this prasad distribution program to the African communities. And people to sponsor this program will not be so difficult. Like we were explaining yesterday, Kenya is one country where the concept of blind and lame can work perfectly. Just like when Prabhupada went to America, he said, the blind and the lame, American wealth and Indian culture. So here in Kenya, the same example can be extended. You have the Indian wealth, the wealth of the Indians in Kenya, and use it to educate the Indians and the local Africans. So this Food for Life program can be expanded very nicely here. And as we go out for the prasad distribution program, accompanied by Hari Nam and so on, more and more people will take the prasadam, associate with the devotees, hear the holy name, get exposed to the philosophy, and hopefully take to the Krishna conscious process. In Kenya, we've been existing here for a very long time. But Kenya is one of the few countries in the world where we have failed in making local devotees. We've been here since 1972. And virtually all over the world, our movement is run by locally recruited devotees. Kenya, at least in my knowledge, is one of the few countries where we have not succeeded in making a lot of local African devotees, or local Indian devotees, or whatever, but devotees who are local residents of that country. And whatever the reasons are, we're not going to discuss it all in the class publicly and get thrown on in the country, but the point is we have to endeavor to make more African devotees so that the people of this country also become fortunate. Unless people take to Krishna consciousness, they will always be unfortunate. And our business is to convert the unfortunate people to fortune, to convert to those who have no eyes to make, give them eyes. Srila Swami, in commenting on the process of devotional service, has said that this process of devotional service is so safe that even if you run on this path with both your eyes closed, you will not fall. Normally if you run with both your eyes closed, or even if you walk with both your eyes closed, within minutes you will fall or have an accident. But the process of devotional service is so powerful and so pure that even if you do a little bit, your life has not been wasted. It stands as a permanent asset. So we should all endeavor to spread this Krishna consciousness. The preaching is our most important activity. Very soon we are going to be installing Sitaram deities, which is very nice. But we don't want to stop the outside preaching. We have preaching in the temple. As Prabhupada has explained, these temples are spiritual hospitals where people are invited to. They come, they see the beautiful Archa Vigraha form of the Lord, they bow down to the Lord, and they begin to make spiritual advancement. In fact, Prabhupada said that just if you come to the temple and bow down to the deities, you'll make spiritual advancement and go back to Godhead. If you come every day and just bow down. But now we see that even with our Indian devotees, the tradition or custom of bowing down before the deities has faded away, isn't it? You see people, they come to the temple, they just stand and kariyogari, they offer namaste, isn't it? But actually the head should bow down before the deity. In fact, the second canto of the Bhagavatam makes a very daring statement. It's so daring, you have to be careful when you use it in public. It says that if that head that doesn't bow down before the deity of the Lord should be separated. So this head, so we educate the people when they come to the temple of the Lord, they should, maybe we should put one or two signs, saying when you come to the temple of the Lord, it is advisable to bow down before the Lord. So, after we install the Sitaram deities, naturally, we'll be able to attract a lot more, hopefully we'll be able to attract a lot more people to the temple. But we also have to expand our frontline preaching that is by going to the streets, going to the villages, going to universities, going to colleges, and making people aware of this Krishna conscious movement. I think all of you know this devotee Tribhuvanath Radhakrishnan. So we had a long discussion with him in Mayapur recently. He agreed to spend 4 months a year in Kenya concentrating on preaching to the local Africans. Of course, he'll also preach to the Indians, but he'll concentrate on preaching to the local Africans. He's going to bring his multimedia presentation and so on. He's going to take it in schools, colleges. We're going to rent halls in different villages, in different towns, etc. and expose the Krishna conscious philosophy. So this is the highest welfare activity in which we should constantly be scratching our heads how we can present this Krishna consciousness to everyone. Prabhupada, when he went to America, he just planted the idea of book distribution. And the devotees, they started scratching their heads. How can we please Prabhupada and expand book distribution? And devotees were just thinking of how we can start, we can expand book distribution. And one devotee came up with the idea, oh, maybe I can go to the stores that are open late during the Christmas season. One devotee had just given a book and in exchange for payment for gas at the petrol pump, the Krishna book. And the man accepted the Krishna book in exchange for giving cash. And the devotee, Keshav, got the idea, oh, this is wonderful. We didn't have to pay dollars. He took a Krishna book in exchange. So devotees were constantly taxing their brain. How can we realize Prabhupada's desire of seeing books distributed? Prabhupada said, double it, double book distribution. They were constantly thinking, how can they do that? And Krishna reciprocated. So similarly, the devotees residing in Kenya. We say this prayer every day, isn't it? Oh, my dear Lord, if you desire, please send us new devotees so that we can expand the Sankirtan movement. We say the prayers, that's nice, but we should be taxing our brains. What newer techniques should we use so that we can inspire more people to take to Krishna consciousness? And if we are determined to make the effort to preach by any alternative means that's available, then we will be. Nothing is impossible. We should have full faith that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a blind man can see, a deaf man can hear, a lame man can walk, and a blind man can see. So that by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the impossible can become possible. But we have to make the effort. And that effort has to be made by the devotees. So all the devotees, especially the African devotees are living here and the Indians, they should be thinking, how can we spread this Krishna consciousness as fast as possible? So this is an activity for the welfare of the whole world. This is not an activity for the welfare of one or two people. And this Krishna consciousness, the process of pure devotional service, this is the only process that can satisfy. And we devotees can get the strength to preach Krishna consciousness if we are serious in the execution of devotional practices. We should be very alert in executing devotional practices, make sure we chant around, make sure we read Prabhupada's books, where Prabhupada has explained that when we read these books, then Krishna sees, here is somebody who is trying to understand me. And when Krishna sees that here is somebody who is trying to understand me, Krishna then gives him the intelligence by which he can understand. And when we don't make the endeavor to understand Krishna, then Krishna doesn't reciprocate. So we have to make the endeavor to read these books that Prabhupada wrote with such great difficulty. And along with chanting, reading and sadhana bhakti, this will give us the strength to go on with our Krishna consciousness. So to summarize, in this fifth chapter of the third canto, we have seen Vidura asking many questions from Maitreya. We see this in the whole Bhagavatam, that Parikshit Maharaj is asking from Shukadeva Goswami, Shonaka Rishi. So we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in the Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjuna is asking questions to Krishna. We see this pattern that the more advanced devotees are being approached with questions. Questions about what? Questions that describe the glories of the Lord. This is known as Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna.